Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cyber Athletics Safe Space. For our differently abled viewing persons, my name is Adam Fitch. I am a white, straight, cisgender male wearing a t-shirt that you can't see. I've just showed you the logo on it, but you're differently abled in terms of viewing, so that doesn't help. And I'm wearing a pink hat, and I go by the pronouns he, him.
Yes. All same for me. Everything.
My name is also Adam Fitch.
Yeah, replace that with my name, but besides that, I feel like they already know our names by now. Two icons of the esports industry, no?
But if they're blind, they may not know which video they're clicking
on. Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. And if they've got dementia, we've not been very...
No. Hi, my name is Adam Fitch. I am a white... This is for the dementia viewers. My granddad's one of them. Hi, granddad. I'm your grandson. Anyway, right. So,
Scott's intro.
Oh, God. The esports industry being fucked, a recurring theme.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to tie it up in the title and thumbnail yet, but we'll make it sound quite ominous, but a bit more hopeful as well, maybe. But maybe. Some people would reduce this topic to, oh, the economy's fucked, so therefore, no wonder esports is fucked. And that is entirely the wrong way to look at it, I think.
Yeah, I think just making the jump that because everything else is fucked, that's the reason esports is suffering a little bit, and it will just return back to whatever normal was, like before all of this uncertainty and layoffs and companies going out of business and all that stuff, all looking to sell at least, like, no, I agree with you. It's pretty obvious if you look at the finances, like esports teams in particular, I guess, if that'll probably be the focus of this video, right? Is like mostly the teams.
I'd say so.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. We'll get into it, but it's pretty simple. Like they don't make fucking money, and there's a reason every team, even the very biggest teams, are finding and have found or are in the process of like honing different strings to their bow, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because esports competition on its own just is not viable, mm-hmm. essentially.
We can cut this bit out if need be, but it's not showing that my mic's recording. Is it showing that for you as well?
No, so it sometimes does that to me. I can see that yours is recording. Like I can see I can hear you and I can see the thing.
I'm not seeing any waves.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've got no waves, fam.
Got no waves.
Get my do-rag.
No, you're fine. I can hear you. And it's done that to me in the past, so I think you should be all right.
And we'll leave that in just so we'll people see how the sausage is made.
Fuck them. Yeah.
They don't deserve any better.
Yeah.
But effectively, esports was already this way before the economy went to absolute shite.
Yeah.
So this correction was coming anyway. It's the fabled, mythical correction everyone's been talking about for like 4 years now. It started off with the people that you kind of thought was crazy, who just like esports is a bubble, and then it kind of hit like me, Richard, and Thorin, like the people like with a bit more credibility, and you're like, oh shit, maybe. But then like the esports like I guess cheerleaders were like, no, we're all good still. Look at League of Legends, it's doing bits. And now it's like, yeah, even if you're in League of Legends, so I'm like, yeah, you're burning millies, mate. Riot aren't giving you anywhere near as much as they're making off of this shit. So, while it will be somewhat numbers-focused, like I think like it's just a state of the industry as a whole. Like obviously, we can refer to a video and put it in a card up there or there, depending on which way my fucking cam's facing in the recording for the media rights discussion we had, because that plays a big part in why teams are just not sustainable and not able to like bring any meaningful revenue in besides sponsorships and partnerships.
Yeah, indeed. I think that conversation is a really important one, just the revenue of esports. So that, what you just said, media rights is obviously massive. And then there's, I think, another one of the biggest things, which I heard in a podcast recently, and it's obvious anyway, like it's been obvious for a while, is player salaries are just out of control. Like, I think it was Devin Nash. It might have been the other guy. Anyway, it was on Jacob Wolf's podcast. I think it was titled... Let me just check the title because it's really, really good.
I think is esports dying? And it was Harris Peskin and Devin Nash. Right?
Harris Peskin and Devin Nash, yeah. Can esports survive a recession? Yeah. And they were talking about it there, and it might have been Harris that was saying, salaries are just way too high. And basically what they've done in other like traditional sports, what they've done is they've introduce some sort of salary cap or salary control so that teams literally are not able to spend more than, I think it's like roughly 50% of the total hockey revenue, because he was using the example of the NHL. Now, if you look at player salaries in a lot of the biggest esports competitions and leagues, teams, I think, are spending as much money on players as revenue they're earning as a company on the whole. So it's like a one-to-one ratio. I'm pretty sure I've got that right. I think that's what he meant. So it's like, how are you ever going to be like... It's weird. It's like Jacob used the phrase, esports has ran before it's walked. And I think it's just so true. Like, you know, you've got player unions and stuff. Not saying unions are like necessarily always a bad thing, but in, you know, you've got the publishers that usually fight for player salaries being high, and they don't give a shit about the actual teams. That's another thing I got from this pod. Like, they don't actually care about the team. So what are the chances of them introducing something like a salary cap? So that's just another example of the revenue in esports teams, like competition, esports competition, and the teams that play in these competitions. The revenue is just, it's not there. Like, they're spending too much money. They're burning way too much money.
Two things there. So the CDL in its first season had a salary cap, and I heard that he scrapped it. And then Jake Hale, who's doing a lot of COD reporting at the moment during the off season, literally said they scrapped it. And like, so I think Scump's getting like a mil and all this kind of shit. Where maybe before it, they call it like supermax contracts, where you basically max out what you can get, which I guess is an NBA kind of ripoff at some stage with the verbiage. I don't know. I don't watch that shit. And then effectively, like, so one thing I've been thinking about a lot is, yeah, they're reliant on partnerships. And if you look at the kind of companies that are partnering, a lot of the times it's your HyperX's, your Logitech's, your, like, they sell products, right? And they're using these teams for awareness. And, oh, they wear HyperX only, so go buy them. Like, we're in an economic downturn. The last thing I'm thinking about, if I'm, like, strapped for cash, is, oh, I could do with that new Logitech wireless headset and mouse combo. Like, so potentially the profits and revenue and such for like the companies that spend money to advertise in esports, the real core ones you think you can rely on, who are never going to dip, like, they may like tighten up their purse strings,
right? Yeah, it's true.
And if that's the case, then the revenue that you're relying on the most, even within partnerships and sponsorships, could actually dry up somewhat as well. And now I don't know if I'm being too dramatic with that. Hopefully it doesn't get to that. No, I mean, like, the energy prices are going up like 1,000% in like a few months or whatever it is, right? So like, the last thing, if my headset breaks, fuck it, mate. I'm using my old Apple wired earphones or something, you know? Like, yeah, I'm not going out and buying a new HyperX Stinger.
I mean, you would hope companies like HyperX and Logitech, the one place they would continue to advertise, you would hope, is esports. But again, like, you know, you're seeing companies like this go to agencies that manage creators, not necessarily always going to esports teams. Like, if what makes an esports team so much better than, you know, like a content creation company that you know, manages influencers like OTK or something? Like, why wouldn't they just go there? So it's, I think you're right. That's the one kind of, what has historically been for the last few years, like, guaranteed source of revenue is the sponsorships. But like you said, what if we enter a real recession, what's the chances? Like, you know, advertising is often cut. Like, advertising spend, sorry, is often cut during a recession. So, yeah
man. Like, I don't know what the ROI is based on, like, esports advertisement for those companies. But, like, if you've got, like, a Valkyrie who says she streams every day for a week and she pulls in 300K viewers concurrent out on average for each one of those sessions, versus an esports team that may not compete within that week, or, you know, they're going to the next CSGO major, so it's like, oh, this is good, lots of eyeballs there, and then they get knocked out very early and don't even make it to, like, the legend stage or something. Like, there's no guarantee for eyeballs there, whereas you kind of know, like, Valkyrie can put out a scam product and chill for it for a decent amount of time before backing out and still, like, have a huge audience. So, like, I wonder what the ROI is there, and also it's probably less of a risk, you know, going with, like, an individual creator. And if they're cheaper, you can rack up a few of those. You could get your Brook ABs. You could probably get half of 100 Thieves and not do a full deal with 100 Thieves and and absolutely kill it for less money. Obviously, that's all speculative. I'm not in the books of HyperX and stuff. I probably should be. I should be checking out. I know Turtle Beach and stuff. I think I can find their finances. Maybe that's the next step for me. But since we're on the topic of finances, I think it would be interesting to just run through quickly what's what, and I can leave a link to the category where these all exist. But like, I am the number one source for finances in esports. I don't do anything with them besides list them. But fuck you. Still, I get to them before anyone else, all right? And then I highlight the loss or the profit in the title, and I get clicks and I keep my job that way, all right? So, looking at it quickly, first, this is for the first half of 2022, unless stated otherwise. Overactive Media, which is behind Mad Lions, Toronto Defiant, Toronto Ultra, lost $5.5 million. Enthusiast, who's behind Seattle Surge, Luminosity, and Vancouver Titans, lost 21.6 mil, obviously it has media properties as well. FaZe in the second quarter of 2022 alone, they've just hired a new chief financial officer today, which is probably good news, but they lost $9.3 million in the last quarter. Allied Esports, big venues and stuff in Las Vegas, and they've got like portable gaming studios on trucks, $7.4 million in the first half of the year. Fragbite, media company, $4.9 million in the first half. Lookbox, betting company, $3.1 million in the first half. Rivalry, betting company, $10.5 million in the first half. Order, Australian organization. Sorry, go on.
I was just saying, all losses, by the way. Still on losses, yeah.
All losses. Order, seeking new ownership because he's run out of Dosh. And Tidal Gaming, which owns a betting data provider, is effectively what it is, in Sportsflare, is selling off Lazarus, who like used to compete in PUBG, and they've got teams in some lesser titles, I suppose. So that's all probably within the last month and a half.
Yeah,
losses across the board. Companies now having to sell up, and that's no shock, but it is sad to see. It really is. But I do think organizations get the shot into the stick. Players get embarrassed very fucking well. Publishers, they're milking it, absolutely winning. They hold all of the fucking power, and as organizations just trying to make it work in the middle, in between all their fake meetings about absolutely fuck all, and not actually trying anything particularly new. I do think it's the hardest out there for organizations, and there are good people who work at a lot of them, you know. But so we're in a period now where there's major losses across the board, and if you don't see just like team cuts, you're going to literally see more sales, more collapses, more probably consolidation. If you look at Optic and Envy, like Envy literally had to like be sunsetted as a brand because they couldn't afford to like run them both at the same time. Is like passing what Hasbro said in the announcement video. He was basically like, oh, the best chance of succeeding is with Optic, otherwise we're fucked because we're spreading too thin, and they're two big brands, well funded. So if it's the case for them, it's the case everywhere else. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's no organization off the table in my mind when it comes to having to make cuts. Like 100 Thieves making cuts with employees, it's going to come down to players as well, because they cost so much more.
It's going to happen more and more, and that's not to say anything about the bigger orgs. Even like I was saying earlier, some of the best and biggest and best in our industry, you know, there's a reason why none of them rely solely on esports. There's a reason why they all have something else that they do in the background. So like FaZe is, I mean, I guess kind of a content house. Do they manage influencers as well? And they're going to go on some crazy like mergers and acquisitions spree soon. You know, you've got TSM and Blitz, which we've probably mentioned a few times in this podcast like series so far. You've got Team Liquid, who I think are doing like white label media stuff, I heard Jacob say.
They've got one up. They've got a content studio,
I think they're pushing super hard on that. So all these teams, even the ones that aren't going bust, they're avoiding like going bust or laying people off. They're not avoiding esports, but they're finding other ways to generate revenue and to try and survive because of the money. Like saying, what are the chances that, you know, if we really hit a recession, investors aren't going to want to keep funding projects that are losing money. You know, when everyone's, you know, if everyone's losing money, it's like eventually the penny's going to drop and investors are going to say, fuck this, I'm gone.
I actually think we got there just before all of this shit started turning as well. Because like besides 100 Thieves and maybe like Envy, well, Envy raised like 40 mil led by Grey TV, who's now on the board and stuff. But like these orgs, like the established orgs, we're getting to Series C and still not returning anything at all. And it's like you get to Series D, it's the big boy. Around all you go in IPO, aren't you? Which we've seen a lot of them do at this point now. But it's just, like It definitely dried up before all this shit happened. And of course, we're coming out of COVID. And I say coming out, we're still in COVID in a sense. But my mindset is I'm out of COVID. I haven't worn a mask in months. Kill me. Mm. And yeah, like that. the overwhelming narrative at that point was like, oh, esports is booming, viewership's going mad. And then it was like the Premier League returned and no one gave a fuck again. Like, and then NBA returned and no one gave a fuck. Like, we had record viewership out, like, I guess outside of lockdowns and stuff in CSGO with the PGL Major. So that's good in a sense. But like, what are teams doing with it? Evidently not a lot. Yeah, so we can get record viewership and stuff, but it doesn't make a difference. Like, we're still at the point now where everyone's fucked.
And I think that's actually like, we may have even seen declines in regular season matches as well. Like, I think for the major tournaments, you know, for like the final stage of, say, the PGL Major or like LCS Spring Split, like the final, like they're getting record viewership, I think, still. But I think regular season games, it's kind of flattened, which makes me like viewership for regular season games across like the LCS and Counter-Strike or everything, basically, which makes me think, you know, I've said this before, I'm not sure I've said it on this podcast, but like, publishers are always going to prioritize the bottom line, which means they're always going to bring out new games. So if there's always new games on the horizon, there's always going to be, there's going to be this spread, and more titles try to become like kind of esports viable, or they just develop their own organic esports scene. Viewership and interest is just going to spread out, you would imagine. I mean, gamers, you know, people that are interested, like, gaming is already one of the biggest industries in the world, basically. So like, where's the upward potential? Like I said, if there's constantly a new game coming out, like Overwatch gets basically killed off, I guess, in part because of Valorant. Overwatch was already going on, probably on the decline, but Valorant took loads of its professionals. It's like taken a lot of its fans, presumably. Not as many people are interested in Overwatch. I see that just happening over and over. I think you've got Counter-Strike and League, which have stayed. You've got some fighting games that have pretty much stayed, but also there's just fucking shitload of fighting games. So that's kind of, I guess, merged it to one in some way. Maybe someone will bite my head off for saying that, but whatever. So I just think, where's the longevity of these titles? So then where's the where's the depth of interest, I guess? I don't see Counter-Strike going anywhere, but I also wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like I said, in 10 years, how many games like Counter-Strike will have been released? Loads, presumably. You know, you've got Valorant, which uses the exact same system with the pricing even and the recoil patterns of the guns and stuff. It's like a bit different, obviously. But, and so I just think, I don't know, it's like, even that, there's going to be this just thinning of interest.
I've got a couple points based on the stuff you said there. One, I think like it is contingent on like creating new esports fans, like out of the player base of like these new games that pop up. So, so look like multiverses, for example. Like if they've hit 20 million players, I think I saw. Like if you can convert 1% of that, then that's a shit ton of new viewers for the FGC. So I think it's somewhat contingent, and that gaming's one of the biggest industries in the world, as you say. But esports isn't. There's plenty of room for conversion of gaming fans into esports fans, and I think Valorant's somewhat proof of that. They've captured some CS:GO, some Overwatch, but then the crop of like, I'll probably get killed for this, but like e-girls who are like suddenly like they've got a stance in, and they're all streaming it. Like all these, there's like female streamers who you wouldn't really catch playing games before. They're all in love with Valorant, whether it's because of anime-esque angle or whatever it may be, is a community around there that's been built, and I don't, that's not absorbed from CSGO, as I say, record viewership in CSGO. Overwatch killing itself. So I do see like there's a little bit of cannibalism, of course there'll be a little bit of it, but I think like there needs to be emphasis on like converting casuals to competitive viewers.
But the but that's what I was saying about gaming already being there, is like, how if they're already if all of them are already playing the game, let's say, and it's still the esports scene still isn't there, like, okay, but how long is it going to take for it to get there? Like, you know, so Multiverses, for example, it's got 20 million players. First of all, how many of those players are like brand new players? Like, some of them will be people that play like God knows a lot of Fortnite and different things. Like, they'll just play it like because it's a fun new game. So then let's say there's somebody that is a fan of Fortnite and League of Legends and Multiverses. They don't have enough time in their lives to follow all three esports like super attentively. or if they, let's say they're a fan of five titles, they don't have enough time in their lives to follow all of them. So that's what I mean. It's like attention is obviously very, I mean, people don't have much time in the day. It's like, what do you spend your time doing? Like for me, you know, I've got football, which has been in my life my whole, since I was fucking a kid, like since I was a baby, basically. That's always been there and that's going nowhere. Whereas with esports, it's like, I don't know. Like, there's no guarantee Valve are going to continue Counter-Strike 20 years from now. There's just no guarantee of that. And then what happens to those fans? They might just not care about esports.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, football's community owned, isn't it? It's not owned by anyone.
Exactly.
Thing.
Exactly.
Like, you can go to the park and set up a match and play a five-a-side easy.
But if you want to play,
if you want to play certain games, like, competitively, and stream it and maybe sell tickets. I don't know. Like, it's just the power dynamics completely changed
from
the community versus a corporation. So I understand what you're saying there. And also on your point earlier about like regular season matches, like, I think COVID created a lot of fatigue, especially because, like, in CS, for example, there were online cups all the time. So, like, no matches actually fucking mattered. So that maybe knocked off a few. But I think where the big boosts for, like, say, the LCS finals, that's going to, like, do a lot better than a regular season. I think that's because people from either other regions, so, like, say the LFL fans primarily, or they love the Superliga, they'll probably tune in and watch because it's like, okay, this is the best of the best. Let's have a gander. Or, like, CSGO fans may go check out the finals of, like, the Valorant Champions Tour, like the big match there. You get some kind of conversion over, like, okay, this is the best players. I don't really care for the game that much, but, like, everyone's talking about this. This is the moment. On Twitter, all of the esports communities are basically like, oh my god, COD Champs is the final one. It's Optic versus FaZe. Like, oh, I have to tune in for this shit. So I don't. I think it's the crossover that, like almost artificially boosts it in a way. Like, it's not just the core community anymore that are there for the regular season, which I don't know. It's besides the point of the entire video, I suppose. But I just thought, like, you know, like, there is, that's the only time there's a real, like, esports crossover in my mind. Is like, when is a big moment. Where it's exactly, like, oh my god, FaZe and Na'Vi in the major finals, like, fucking hell, everyone's talking about this. I have to tune in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's 2 million people watching this at once. Like, I don't want to miss out. And then apart from that, you're not going to be watching Astralis versus Copenhagen Flames in, like, an online qualifier for a major, are you? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, especially if you don't care about CS, it's only going to be the hardcore fuckers and the Danish fans that care about that. So that's the only time we see, like, the real esports crossover. And then, I don't know. I don't care if I don't know if they actually care about the product as much as they care about not missing out and just being part of it, which makes it harder to sell to them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's true. Did you have any insight, by the way, on any of the? Because Order, I guess, was like one of the most recent collapses. Do you have?
Yeah, it's. I don't have any insight. That's a product of James Fudge, who has done good reporting on that. And then I think, like, there was a publication called The Australian, which actually got to the collapse of it and the voluntary administration and such. But so they've got an insolvency firm in because they ran out of capital. So now they owe like around $200,000 to creditors, so people who've given them Dosh before, who they owe money to. And they say there's like 12 interested parties. And now that could just be Chiefs Esports Club, like, saying they're interested so they can work out, like, what's what at their biggest competitor and see how things got to that point. And
it's a good point.
You know, you never know. You don't know how serious they are on that front, but, like, it seems like it'll probably be saved, but it's a big undertaking right now to fork out over 200K. And of course you've got to keep the organization afloat with staff and all that kind of shit. So it was a huge undertaking anyway. And in this climate, it's not very attractive. So you're going to have to, like, hope of some dreamer out there, like, one day this org will rise from the ashes as well as esports, and this will be a great place to put my money, which is quite optimistic. I don't know. Part of me thinks you could just snap it up and get their social channels and rebrand them and fucking go for it. You don't have to start entirely from fresh. You know, it's an awkward one. But no, I don't have any inside sources on that. But
good.
Apparently offers were due on the 23rd of August, so a couple of days ago. So I assume we'll hear some stuff in the coming days on it. But basically, they spent all their Dosh. Now they owe 200K and they're fucked. So now they're looking for people to buy them.
The esports story.
Yeah. And the Lazarus thing as well. Like, no one really cared about it. Like, I got to it first. No one fucking shared it. Like, I think maybe two people liked it, which is very rare for my Twitter. But yeah, I think it's past relevance at this point. But it's another situation where, like, they had another source of income And at this point, they're like, okay, that's better for us to focus all of our attention on that kind of an optic and envy thing. So let's fuck off Lazarus, because like that's going mad slow versus this sports flair thing, which I think is partnered with like maybe like Baze Esports and a few others like doing esports betting stuff, which, as discussed earlier with the numbers, is maybe not the strongest place right now. Mm-hmm. But that's quite telling. If you'd rather be in esports betting than you would be in team ops, it doesn't look great. So I think I've heard of a couple more that I'm in trouble, but I haven't heard explicitly that any are going to like go under or have to look to sell soon. But you can fully expect more of this kind of stuff, right? Because or they're just going to take loans and not say anything about it, you know?
Some sort of relief. Probably, if we wanted to, there'll be that much news, you know, news like this, that we could probably do a monthly video series and have like a lot to talk about every video. You know, if we did one a month from today. Yeah, it is easy content. Yeah, we could do that. I mean, we don't have to do it, but I was just thinking then. There's going to be more and more things that unfold over the next like few months.
Yeah. It just depends when everything bounces back, and who knows when the fuck that is at this rate. We know like this year's written off financially, don't we? Like effectively. And probably a lot of next year. So who knows when the fuck. That's the thing. Like, they might be able to survive like 6 months, but do these orgs have the cash to last 12 months? That's why they're scaling it back now, obviously, in preparation for like the 100 Thieves getting rid of I can't remember how many now, but a significant amount of staff. Like, do it now. I assume they've probably halted production on their game as well, because that's going to be a big money pit, and they need to be saving us right now. So I see you can... I actually probably give a bit of credit to those that were early in laying people off, which obviously I don't like the fact people were laid off, of course, but it's like they've recognized the fact that, oh shit, we're in for a tough time, let's start streamlining now. So you look at your Dignitas, TSM, 100 Thieves, Order tried it and then 2 months later collapsed. Maybe that's foreshadowing for the others. I don't know, but I kind of respect that anyway, rather than like cunts. So there'll be some arrogant cunts out there like, oh, us, we're fucking sick businessmen, like, oh, we've got this in the bag, like, yeah, we'll be fine, don't worry everyone, we'll find money somewhere. Like, fuck, mate. You can tell there's a couple of them about.
Oh, yeah, there will be. There will be. Yeah, there'll definitely be. That shit like that happens all the fucking time.
Actually, Cyber Athletics exclusive. Here we go. Remember when Jacob Wolf did his free agency show and he'd have, like, the wolf howl? I need, like, a button I can press, like, when we break news on Cyber Athletics. But, so Semper Fortis is going under. You fucking put your bets on that now if you want. But, I hear that they're in only Rocket League now, and I hear they wanted to exit Rocket League, but they had to honor contracts. So I presume once that's done, like, they've laid off staff. Like, once that's done, Semper Fortis is done. Like, they already lost their CEO, Nolan Bushnell, who was, like, non-executive director, basically a fucking cheerleader for them, who said nothing. Sick. Harry Maguire and Calvert-Lewin did nothing. Sick. Man, so that's a Cyber Athletics that's exclusive for the three people that watch this. Watch out for them. They're going under 100%. I put my fucking bollocks on the line for
that. That's crazy. I did a bit of work for them, just to be totally transparent.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Freelance work, like writing work. Not much. So I've spoken to Jassim a few times.
You did freelance writing work? What, did it go on their website?
Yeah. I don't think it ever ended up going on, no. It was something.
But did you get paid?
Yeah. So, it was some like blockchain thing. Can't really remember now. It was like a report type thing.
Okay.
But yeah, that's one of those typical instances where they fucking, you know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Harry Maguire, and then just not, like, literally from the announcement article that everyone wrote, like ESI, others, that's probably the final thing anybody ever heard of that.
Like, for sure. I think there was maybe one post when they actually announced it from like the ambassadors, and that was it. I think it was like, I'm proud to be working with Semper Fortis.
What does something like, I mean, we know what it costs, for example, like Beckham with Guild, like fucking literally like almost 20 mil, like 15 mil ish.
Well, it's $19.87 million over 5 years, if I remember correctly. Yeah, and he owns 4.7% of the company.
Yeah.
So like 5 mil a year, yeah.
So like, but so we know what he gets, like that's ridiculous money, but like, you know, what is it worth? Like, deals like that are just not worth it. We're kind of off topic, but who fucking cares? So, like, what do you pay Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Harry Maguire to do that? That's my point. Is like, it's got to be a few hundred grand, no? Like what?
Yeah, it's not going to be Beckham money, is it?
What's in it for them? Yeah, yeah. It's not going to be Beckham money, but what's in it for them? Like they must be getting paid something.
So, yeah, because like I don't think they got equity. Whereas Beckham did, that probably lowered his costs somewhat because it's like, we'll give you this as well. You can have like a 20th of the company as well. Mm. Whereas I don't think Semper Fortis would do that. Nor was it actually worth anything at the time when Semper Fortis were signing them up. So yeah, it might be like one social post a month, 20 grand a pop or something. Who knows? It depends on the deliverables for it, right? And how long it'll last and all that shit. But I can't imagine it was much. And we definitely didn't see fuck all for it.
Yeah, no.
Which I think the reason like that, no one ever gave a fuck about Semper Fortis really, besides the few Rocket League fans that they had from the team they bought, was like you could tell from the beginning that it wasn't done in like good faith. You could tell it was like, okay, Guild are doing this, so our path is we go public, we announce prominent footballers, and then that's it was true, like, okay.
Yeah,
and then there was like, okay, we're getting into play to earn, we're going to have an Axie Infinity Guild. It's like, right, okay, no one in Esports gives a fuck about that. In fact, they're mad skeptical about it. And then you don't hear anything. Oh, we've got Nolan Bushnell, the founder of Chuck E. Cheese and Atari. Like, what's that got to do with fucking Esports?
He was Steve Jobs' mentor, believe it or not. Nolan Bushnell.
And then he was involved with Semper Fortis Esports. What a fucking fall from grace.
What was I going to say? Oh, shit.
Sorry, mate.
No, I thought of it while you were talking, while you were saying something about Semper Fortis.
He was also on the board of eBet until recently.
Really?
Have I fucked you again?
No, I had it and then it went.
I'm sick of that, mate. I'm the worst co-host in the world.
No, it's definitely not you. It's my fucking brain. I do it all the time.
Stage fright.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. yeah, who cares? I don't know. Oh, yeah, so no, they were doing loads in crypto, obviously, which I know firsthand because I was working with them a bit on it. So when the crypto crash came, I wonder like just how badly that hurt them. Because they must have had a lot of exposure in crypto. They must have done, because I know they were doing a lot and like they were big believers in it and stuff.
But they only ever raised like 2 mil, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe like 2.5. Yeah. And they lost 1.46. Yeah, I think they raised 2 million quid and they lost $1.46 million in 2021. So half of their dosh was gone in like the first year of operation. And now we're like ending their second year. Like, I do wonder how much is tied up in it, but look, like, yeah, they're going to be gone and there'll be more as well, you know? And I predicted this before, like when COVID hit, I was like, oh, loads of them are going to consolidate and none of it really happened. Like Reciprocity crashed and got bought out by GameSquare, which now owns Complexity. But apart from that, there was actually like nothing, which surprised me. But like FaZe were on the lookout for buying shit. And we know that. They basically have to at this point. They need something. Apart from that, I don't know. So I don't think many people want to buy into esports, so it'll be like existing esports stuff, like we'll roll in our organization with yours, we'll combine and become some Megatron type dealio. You know, like that's how I see it going. I could put a couple of guesses down, but I don't know if I'm willing to do that just yet. Maybe give me like a couple months and I'll put some guesses down on who will happen.
Do you think esports has been overestimated from the beginning?
The beginning of like competitive gaming?
I guess I'm saying like since it became more mainstream and more like.
I'd say since VCs got involved.
Mm.
Because the overwhelming narrative was like, oh, it's going to be the next big sport. And like, yeah, we did see some like really good growth in some areas. And then all the VC funds came in and like, of course, as they do. But. Nothing's come of it. Like the Overwatch League,
the
like,
next biggest sport, by the way. That's the funny in hindsight, isn't it? The next biggest sport. Like we've spoken so many times that it's not a single sport. So like the whole idea that esports was going to be the next big sport is flawed because it's fucking loads of different things. It's not one thing.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I do. Actually, I don't know. I don't care if it's a sport. I only do because the government recognizes it, recognition, and then you can get grants and visas and all that shit. I don't care otherwise.
But I mean, like, in terms of the size of it and stuff, do you think, because, I mean, maybe in hindsight, I remember I interviewed Mike Sepso, the founder of MLG and CEO of Vindex, and that was, the whole interview ended up being about, it was one of the first interviews I did at ESI. It was all about, like, the esports bubble. What do you think about that whole conversation? And his response, I remember, was basically like, people have been saying that for years, but we're doing just fine, blah, blah, blah. And I guess, but then you look at like what a lot of the stuff that Vindex is doing, there's a lot of like, they have actual products and services that they sell for a profit, you know what I mean? And they've got Belong Gaming Arenas. That's a whole like service in itself. And like loads of them are going to be in the US and the UK. So like that's different. But in terms of, I guess, yeah, to keep it specific to teams and taught and like esports competition, you know, there's no sign of it becoming anywhere close to profitable anytime soon. And I think that's chiefly because of a big gaping hole in the balance sheets in terms of media rights and player salaries. These are just two reasons. And player salaries, which are just ridiculously high and like completely outpace the industry.
Valuations, like the Forbes valuations and stuff, is a reason. They get shared around for two reasons. The fans share it because they're like, oh my God, like my team is now worth 300 mil, we're big time. And then there's all the industry folk who are like, what the fuck is going on here? Who's buying fucking FaZe for 400 mil or whatever, you know? And TSM's up there, but it's because of Blitz. Like they have a service with like a lot of users that are monetized. Like it's not because of TSM itself. So like you'd never see that kind of buyout. But the highest buyout we've had, as far as I'm aware, is Rex Global with Infinite Reality, which closed a couple months ago for, I think, 470 mil, so almost half a bill. But they have, like, Talent X and Full Cube. And, like, they basically have agencies and service providers as well as having Rogue in the LEC and having London Royal Ravens in the CDL. Again, it's, like, that diversified model. So you can't even say it's an esports organization selling for 470 mil, if it is that. I think that's the exact number. Because we don't know how much of the value is derived from the esports teams, and the spots they hold, in fact, is probably actually more valuable than the actual organization. If you look at how they're selling in the LCS and LEC, and yeah, they've got all the agencies. So like we don't know for sure. So I think that is an example of where we're actually at. The organizations that are probably going to weather the storm are the ones that are diversified already, which are not too many, you know, like G2, what does it have besides what it has, like esports wise? That's about it. TSM, it has the services. As you say, Team Liquid, it's got the agency. TSM, it works as an agency, and it's got Blitz, it's got Icon Agency. They like delineate the two products, but it's the same shit. Like all their influencers are signed and stuff. So yeah, man, I think it's been overblown since I've been in the industry, which I joined in like January 2018 officially, I think. So like 4 years, we'll say. At least 4 years. I think like I wasn't clued up to it at the start, but like as I've learned more, it's like, oh wait, it's always been overhyped because there's the overwhelming narrative of like, yeah, in 10 years this will be huge, and then 2 years pass and it's 10 years it'll be huge still. Like, I say that quite a bit because it's fucking true. And now you don't hear it as much, you know. Now it's like crypto is the next big industry, the blockchain is going to change everything. Like it's just like the hype's moved on to that now, you know. Yeah. Which is actually probably good for us. Like we need less hype. Yeah, we need just like these transparent numbers from public organizations, and those that aren't public, like Copenhagen Flames, they shared theirs because they got a profit of like 6K. we need that transparency so we can. And I think now that's actually helping to change the narratives. I think I'd say most decision makers, or at least industry folk, whether they're level or what, will know that basically every company's losing money. Fans probably not, but like they don't fucking pay or do fuck all anyway, the entitled cunts. So I don't care about what the fans think. Like I think the narrative is switching now, you know. But in terms of people know where we're at, they're still optimistic for the future and say, oh, it's the next big thing, blah blah blah. But they're saying it less and like, well, right now we've got work to do, which is a stride in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think just to plug that Jacob Wolf podcast one more time, I think esports, he said that esports is essentially more niche than people think, or like people have been, or more niche than the industry has been letting on over the last few years. And I think that's absolutely true. I think we're treating it as though it's, like you said, people saying it's the next big sport and all that stuff. It's like we need to temper our expectations a little bit, lower the player salaries, try and, you know, sort out a few problems, and then in the process from now, like a lot of businesses are going to completely either restructure or go out of business. That's just going to happen, unfortunately. But yeah, it's going to be probably going to get rough. I mean, it already is, but it's probably going to get even more rough.
No doubt. And this is where Saudi come in and just snap every fucking thing up because everything's cheap.
Well, yeah, there you go. There you go. Including Cyber Athletics, hopefully, so I can get paid.
That's a good shout. Who do I want to speak to? Head of Saudi Esports Federation, hit my line. My morals are for sale.
Yeah, mine too.
Oh, that reminds me. I have to sing the Global Esports Federation song, don't I, at some point?
Do you? Did we get 100 likes?
No, but I'm a man of my word, and I basically said, like, right, I'll do it. So, okay, not on this episode. The next one, I promise you. Go to the next episode after this one when it's out, and then hear my singing. And if it's not on that one, it'll be the next one. So just watch them through historically, and we'll be fine. But have we got any closing remarks besides these bots is pretty fucked for now?
I was just thinking that, like, how to fucking, like, how to be a bit more positive about it. But
okay, I mean, we're going through a correction course. Like, this is needed so we can build back better. As my favorite politician says all the time.
No way. He's going for the Boris plug. Love that.
I started with politics, ended with politics.
Yeah, but other than that, mate, I've not got any closing remarks.
No. So. Go follow me on Twitter, you cunts. Oh, no, you're all...
And me, no. If you're watching this, you probably already follow Adam. Follow me on fucking Twitter. At Billy Stone. That's my...
Yeah, yeah. His art is at by Adam Fitch.
I've currently got... I've got 818 followers. I need to pump them up. They're rookie numbers.
Rookie numbers, son.
Yeah, follow me. If you follow me from this episode, I might follow you back if I think you've got enough clout. No, I'm joking.
We are fucking rotten. Right, motherfuckers, we'll see you on the next episode for more positivity about esports. Cheers. Yeah.